Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Many of you ever had the experience where you find out something your body does that it's always been that way, and then you mention it to somebody else and they're like, no, that doesn't happen to me.
Where like you realize body anomaly?
Where you realize your body or the way it reacts to some sort of stimuli or whatever is sort of a one in a million thing. Like, Maitland, you have the narrow throat.
Mm-hmm.
But was there a point where you just thought that was normal, right?
Yeah, kind of, where I'd tell people, like, man, you don't choke all the time like this.
Right.
Like, or I'd say, oh, you know, you go to take a hard, fast drink, and people are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, when you feel something get stuck, you try to...
splash it down?
Chuck something to force it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, people were like, I don't do that. I don't ever need to do that.
This is a collection of people that had... in most cases, more dramatic versions of that. Not to take away from, because I'm sure it's no fun. This one, I have PCOS, which is polycystic ovary syndrome. Growing up, I had very heavy periods that were super unpredictable. 28 days. Ah, my understanding was that it was painful and unpredictable for everyone. So then I assumed I was just being dramatic. Wasn't until I was diagnosed and started asking my friends about their experiences, and I was like, the what? When they were talking about them being late, I didn't understand how that could be. How would I know when it's late? It just shows up whenever it wants to. I had no idea that meant a week or two or none at all. My uterus does not own a calendar. That would be difficult.
That would be real hassle.
Especially before you know, at least once you know, then I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with something like that, where there's a lot of like secrecy involved in it, you know. It's like,
yes,
oh, I don't want to talk about this, because you know, when you're younger, you're ashamed of things like that.
Yeah. And just culturally it changed.
Yeah,
like I remember talking to a friend of mine, he's 12 or 13 years older, and we were talking about families, and they have two kids, and I said, did you ever think about going for a boy? I have two girls. And he said, well, he said, we had 9 miscarriages before we had our girls.
Wow.
And I said, what? And he said, yeah, 9.
God, that's awful.
I said, oh my God, you're, jeez. I said, poor you. But with all due respect, your poor wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think in my own experience, it's hard for women not. Hard not to blame yourself, even though it's not their fault.
Right.
And he said, yeah. And then culturally, no one talked about it. And so one time, his wife mentioned it when she was out with a couple of other people, or someone else brought it up, and she then felt emboldened, and she said, mm-hmm. and it turns out she just needed, it was fairly new at the time, but I think it's progesterone.
Yeah.
Which is what
one of the hormone drugs that
each of our ex-wives had when
IVF.
She started getting progesterone shots, and then they had their two babies.
Mm-hmm.
But that heartache, she's dealt with it alone during all that time. So that stuff.
Yeah, it's tough.
That sort of dogma that you're not supposed to talk about these things is not helping anyone, I suppose.
I mean, yeah, that's how we felt when we were doing IVF. I thought I was literally the only person on earth who had fertility issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, oh, everyone does, apparently.
You started talking about it first on the air, and then eventually when I did, turns out, yeah, everybody.
It's really, everybody really
sat in
common.
Or stood next to that chair, that famous whacking chair.
Yeah.
Well, I think too, when you're younger like that, when you've got like an irregular period or something's really heavy, it feels embarrassing to talk about. And then you go and you kind of talk to your, maybe a doctor or a friend. I know when I was younger, I didn't start my period till I was like 16 or 17. And when my mom took me to a doctor, it was a male doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it mattered at that time. And I didn't know how much I should have defended myself and said like, hey, I'm not panicking for no reason. Like mine are really bad. But when I had said it originally, they were like, oh, you probably just get freaked out at the littlest drop of anything. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not it. And then 10 years later, I was anemic in the hospital and I was like, I'm on my period and I always feel like crap. And finally, somebody listened to me and they were like, you should be on a birth control that can help you for a little while.
Yeah.
Which was incredibly helpful. I wish somebody would have said that to me at 17, especially right. If you've had really heavy periods and they're regular and you're uncomfortable. There are ways to talk to a doctor and they'll take you seriously, or talk to your friends who can make you feel like if you don't want to take a pill every day for the next however many years, I totally get that. There are ways that you can like eat certain things and drink certain things that are helpful. But God, you just feel so alone when you're like, ugh, this is gross.
I think about,
my body's weird.
I'm sure I do it and don't even know I'm doing it. But that whole thing of minimizing something the kids say, because we've all been through it, son.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't want to be the one. I try not to be the reason that later somebody says, oh, I wish this had been taken more seriously.
Right.
But then you can also run out around a lot of really ridiculous ground balls.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this lady writes, one day I was in the kitchen with a friend and I took a bite of a chocolate chip cookie and that very familiar pain spread across my mouth. I asked my friend, don't you hate it when you take a first bite of chocolate and it hurts like hell?
Oh, I know that feeling. It's not necessarily chocolate. It's not necessarily any specific food. Often, though, it's something more citrusy. And the first, and it'll like cause the back of my jaw to like go,
tighten and tingle.
Like it hurts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll get it whenever I eat something like really rich or chocolatey. It's like a soreness in like the roof of your mouth.
And you expect it.
I'm never surprised by it.
My friend informed me that was indeed not normal. I asked a ton of doctors since, and not one have heard of it. There's only a few research papers that have been written. Fast forward a decade later, I ended up dating a guy who experiences it as well. People develop it from either cancer or surgery, but he and I have just always had it. It's called first bite syndrome.
Weird.
For him, or for her, it's chocolate every time, but it's not the same for everyone.
I'm the same as hot wings. If it's really citrusy or... not even really citrusy. Sometimes just like the right tinge of it, the back of my jaw. It's like between the top and bottom of my teeth, whatever that little disc and muscle are that are right there. It tightens and then it tingles to the point where I can feel it in like my neck and my ears. And I'm like, ugh, I don't think I want to take another bite of this.
Yeah. It's usually when I haven't had anything else, maybe just like coffee or something, or you know, my mouth is just kind of dry. So it's like that. It's like a shock to my mouth. Yeah, I don't like it. It's rare. It doesn't happen all the time. But
Andy writes from Tennessee. In 2012, I broke my skull in a wreck. And while I was in the hospital, they found my bones are extremely dense and thick. My shins are 4 inches wide and my skull has a built-in helmet. They said I was the first known case with bone structure like this. They did a full body scan and all my bones are at least twice as thick, if not more, than the average person of my size.
So they really are just big boned.
You are big
you're
boned.
You're actually big
boned.
Holy
smokes. Everybody else who says that is like, no, he's the first one. How about hyperaphantasia? Overactive imagery of the mind. This person writes, when I close my eyes, I can't see darkness or nothing at all. Like if you close your eyes right now, like I'm seeing the lights coming through my eyelids in this room.
Yeah.
It says, when I close my eyes, there's not darkness. There's always color splashes, forming images, or stories playing vividly while I try to clear my mind. And my dreams, always vivid.
I don't remember my dreams hardly ever, unless they're like scary. But the closing my eyes, I don't see black either. Like it kind of takes a second because obviously I close my eyes. We got bright lights in here. I see the little panes of light from that. And then it's just little bubbles of light all the time. And they're really colorful. I actually kind of like it.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. And then if I squeeze really tight on my eyes, it's almost like I can make more bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are my eyes seeing something in the back of my head that's really cool? Or is this just vivid like imagery in my brain? I don't know.
Do you ever see something when that's happening? Because I have kind of a similar thing. And think, God, if I could recreate this on
canvas,
I had one the other night that turned into it turned into a scene, and I was like, this would be an amazing scene in a film if I could write a film, produce it, and all that other stuff. But that's not something that's going to happen.
I don't see like full scenes. Do you see scenes, Free Beer?
Or sometimes, not typically, really? But cool. Sometimes it'll turn into storylines, like a dream while I'm awake, and I can't. It sounds dumb, but I can't think about it too hard because then it stops if I focus on any given detail. But I have gotten to the point where I feel like I become aware of it and just sort of go with it.
Okay.
Does that sound ridiculous?
No.
It felt ridiculous saying it. But I really like it. It's a relatively recent thing to have realized that, oh, if I don't go, what the hell is this? It'll keep going.
Yeah, mine kind of look like water bubbles, but
I definitely have that.
Thicker.
Yeah. And so, color.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And mine are more transparent, though, too. Like, mine just look kind of shiny. So I think if somebody took metallic paint and like water paint and threw it on a canvas, that's kind of what it would look like.
Yeah. That makes sense. I have something where I literally can't tell if I need to sneeze or vomit. 90% of the time, the sneezy pukey hybrid sensation is a sneeze to be, but the other has happened occasionally. Now, ever since I had my hernia surgery, I had What was yours, Howie?
Mine was inguinal, I believe.
Mine is umbilical hernia. I had an umbilical hernia.
Yeah, mine were lower.
After that surgery, if I don't eat something, like if I don't eat in the morning, it will get to the point where I feel like I'm going to throw up and then I'll sneeze. Usually, if it's a work day, around 7:30 or 8 o'clock. If I don't have anything, that is a problem.
Wow. I mean, I've often
that never happened before that. I've never actually thrown up from it. At first, when it, like the first few months after the surgery, I'd be on the air and I'd be like, God, I'm about to throw up. And you may have noticed at the time where I would be like, disappear and maybe move a trash can close and then have a really loud sneeze. And everybody's like, what a spaz.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely felt nauseous when I'm super hungry before, where I almost feel like I want to barf, but it's never culminated in a sneeze before that I'm aware of. Like, that's a weird, that's an interesting combo.
My vagal nerve is all stupid.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going on.
It's interesting.
Kelly, this person says, when I squeeze my eyes hard shut, it's like I'm looking at a lava lamp floating. Is that similar?
Ooh, yeah. It's not as slow, though. Mine move really quickly, and it's ever-changing. So it's not like the slow bubbles and build. Mine are just kind of like sporadically everywhere. But it is very similar to like the background in a lava lamp. You know how the lava actually like illuminates the water a little bit and the color of the light on the bottom? Yeah, that's kind of what it is. Mine just looks a little more like paint, I think.
Let's see. How about this one? I have cataplexy. Anybody heard of that?
No, what is that?
No.
Cataplexy. I lose the ability to grip and hold things, to chew, and sometimes even stand when laughing. My muscles S the bed whenever I laugh too hard. Me, my sister, and my dad have it. My sister has even dropped her children because of it. Don't worry, it's more of a gradual release than a full-blown whoops. No one was hurt. I grew up thinking it was normal, but my mind was blown when I found out it was not. I asked the next 10 people I saw, my friends, coworkers, a drug dealer, if they got weak while laughing, and they all looked at me like I had three heads.
We had a video the other day in prep. Did we play it for one more thing? Last week, the girl who passes out when she laughs, it was titled Passes Out When They Laugh. It is hilarious. And like her friends all around know that she does this and they've put like compilations together.
They're very unsympathetic.
I would not like that.
It is great. Are you pulling up the video, Steve?
Yeah, hell, I got it right here.
Yeah.
So she's on a scooter.
Like one of those shopping cart scooter things.
She has to be on one of those because she'll pass out.
Is she passed out now?
Yeah,
is she?
Because she's about to start backing herself up. Watch.
And that kind of woke her up. It looked like
her phone. I mean, her friend's got a cane. This is not a group that's going to start.
Maybe some changes would happen with some healthier.
They're not on
habits.
The way to CrossFit.
No.
But they didn't seem worried at all that she was going to tip out of that.
No.
Like, I thought she was going to fall over and crack her head.
Oh, that would have made them go crazy.
Oh, yeah. Then she'd have woke up in a pool of blood and started laughing and started all over again.
Wow, what a burden.
I know, isn't that terrible? With as much as we laugh, imagine if we all passed out every time we laughed.
Oh, that would be amazing. Please. God.
Oh, this is the right show then. Stay not funny and
never laugh.
Sit up straight. So remember, we talked years ago about how, I forget what it's called. I need to look it up. but where some people, certain letters or numbers always represent a color to them.
Yeah.
Like I was talking to one of the twins the other day, and he said, and we were talking about numbers, and he said, oh, that's perfect that that guy is wearing number 7 because his jersey is red. And I went, why is that? And he goes, 7s are red. And in my mind, I went, oh, he's got that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are there other numbers that have a color? And he goes, yeah, some numbers and some letters. And I was explaining it to him. And I said, yeah, this is not something that everybody has. And he was like, oh, so it's like a superpower. And I go, it's certainly, it's a superpower. I don't know how you'll use it, but.
If I had numbers and letters in front of me, like 7, 2, the letter J, those all are the same.
What do you mean? Like
I would put them all. If I had to like put numbers and letters together in a pile based on their similarities, I would put like 7, 2, 5, J, Q, not Q.
Maitland,
that was a random one.
In what, like what makes them similar? Is it color or is it something else?
No, it's something else. It's the fact that they all have like a straight line and curves as part of them.
Mm. Oh man.
But yeah, like that's how my brain goes.
Brains are pretty awesome and scary.
Yeah.
We talked about this before. Do you guys, like, I see
dead people,
not dead people. I see the calendar like a big loop.
I saw a video the other day of people doing that.
Yeah. I know we've talked about it before. Like right now where we're kind of
like a clock,
right? Kind of like,
yeah,
a
very
dial.
Similar.
So 8 o'clock in the year.
No, we're close. We're around because it's more oval shaped. So it's
tough. Remember you showing us this one time.
It's tough to describe, but yeah, we'd be approximately 7, 8 o'clock on the clock right now.
Why is it
based on, I don't know.
Yeah, see,
I can see it like an oval or like an 8 or an infinity symbol, you know, where it's kind of like an elongated 8.
Oh, that's yours is different. Mine's just a circle.
Yeah.
The months to me are like a clock.
Yeah.
Around. Which makes sense. There's 12 hours on a clock and there's 12 months in a year. So it kind of translates for me.
Not at all for me.
But I don't associate it with a clock. I can describe it as looking like a clock.
That's like a tool to other people understand.
Exactly.
It.
But in my head, it's more of like a circle. Or
in your brain, are you like stupid peons? It's not a clock. They're just too dumb to understand.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.